This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter. We're broadcasting live from the Menards in Lawrence. Easy for me to say. Trying to talk too fast, but we're at Menards in Lawrence, Kansas. We'd love you to come out and talk to us, come out and see us, say hello, shake a hand. We got 810 Miller Lite koozies, 810 coasters. If you're heading out for Mother's Day weekend, if you're going to be out in the yard or out on the back porch enjoying a nice lunch or dinner or barbecuing, they got everything you can possibly think of. They got the furniture, they got the barbecue units, they've got everything you can possibly find. If you need some flowers for mom, we have those here too. At Menards, and anything you can think of for your house, they've got it. Inside, outside, yard, lawnmowers, whatever. Do something nice for your mom or your wife and just help her celebrate a good weekend. Also, they want to let you know about the Contractor Connection coming up May 22nd through the 24th from 5 to 8 p.m. You can come and meet contractors if you need a big project or even a small project done around your house. You can come out May 22nd through the 24th, 5 to 8 p.m., meet with some people, get some ideas, and maybe even make a deal or two. So got that going on. Also, tickets for the NHRA, Menards Heartland Nationals, coming up next weekend. They have tickets out here at the Lawrence location, discounted, plus pit passes. And coming up later in the show, Tony Schumacher, who is currently in second place in the NHRA Top Fuel standings, is going to join us. Scheduled to be on earlier in the show, but we had a little mix-up. It might have been, when guys travel and they're racing, their schedules get confused. So we're going to have him up coming up in about 11:30. But joining us now, talking a little Royals baseball, David Leske. Follow him on Twitter, at DB Leske. Covers the Royals for Baseball Perspectives. David, how are you on this Mother's Day weekend?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I just saw that you tweeted out. No coincidence that you're coming on the show, and the sun is now out in Kansas City and other areas of the Midwest.
I can't deny it. It happened at the same time, so you tell me.
Yeah, so we had the rainstorms this morning. I was like, I didn't check the forecast. I wasn't expecting this. I got caught off guard a little bit. All right, David, before we get set up today's game, we'll go back to last night. I think a lot of Royals fans probably tuned out when it was 9-4 Cleveland after the Grand Slam and Jason Hamill didn't have it, couldn't get out of the fourth inning. But if you stayed around long enough, you got to see Andrew Miller return from the disabled list and Salvador Perez drive him out of the ballpark, and the Royals win 10-9. So ended well, but boy, it was rough getting there.
Yeah, I'm one of those people. I turn the game off, but I can't stop paying attention. So I'll check back. I turn it off, and then literally 2 seconds later, put it on my phone, and like, oh, it's 9-5 now. Oh, it's 9-7, 9-8, and then you should probably turn this back on. and then you see, oh, Andrew Miller's coming in. Well, 9-8 final. They gave it a go, and yeah, it worked out well. And, Perez's home run, that's the big story. But Brad Keller, to me, boy, he...
Oh, yeah. Outstanding.
That was good stuff. It's funny because Brad Keller and Burke Smith are the two Rule 5 guys. And heading into spring training, I thought, well, Brad Keller, he's a throwaway. Whatever. He's a guy. You throw something at a wall, you see what he's one of those things you throw at a wall. And Burke Smith, he's the real get. And Burke Smith has been, I wouldn't say bad, but he's been iffy. And Brad Keller's just been outstanding. Gets a lot of ground balls. He throws hard. Three just heroic innings for his bullpen last night. It was really nice to see him pitch well. And hopefully he can continue to pitch well and continue to forge his way onto the future pitching staffs. And it was nice to see, the guy who you've liked all year. And I have. I've been a fan of Keller since I got here. In spring training, and he's just excelling at the big league level. It's really nice to see.
And the thing for Brad Keller and Burt Smith being the Rule 5 guys, if people don't quite understand that, you get to select players from other organizations who are not on the 40-man roster, but if you take them in the Rule 5 draft, they've got to be on the major league roster for the entire season. And if for any reason you don't think it's working out at the major league level, you have to give them back to their former team at half the price. So when you have a Brad Keller and you have a Bert Smith, and injuries too. But when you have a couple of guys like this, especially when you have two, you go in thinking we can hide them during the regular season. We can put them in low leverage situations, blowout games, and let them get their feet wet at the big league level. But because the Royals bullpen had started so poorly, these guys have had to pitch in games with the game on the line while they're in there, which is unusual for a Rule 5 guy. But in Brad Keller's case in particular, he's excelled in those situations.
Yeah, he's been great. And, you know, there was a lot made about the Royals trading Scott Alexander and how good he was last year and all the ground balls he got and everything like that. Keller's going to replace that in a way because he gets a ton of ground balls. The difference is he throws a lot more strikes than Alexander. I'm one of the people who I didn't have a problem with the Alexander deal because I kind of like Trevor Oakes, which he hasn't been great in AAA, but also B, I didn't trust Alexander to be great. Just too many walks, and he got sent down to AAA by the Dodgers because he was walking too many guys. So Keller gets almost as many ground balls, doesn't walk anybody. I mean, it hasn't been a bad trade-off from that perspective. But yeah, he's been very impressive. He got up to 99 a couple outings ago. He can do some things. He's been a starter his whole career in the minor leagues, and he's working out of the bullpen now. The 99 makes you think, okay, maybe he's just taking the bullpen. But if he can stretch out like he did last night, I would love to see him get 5 to 10 starts this year. It's not like they're going anywhere. You know, keep giving
right.
to Jason Hamill. I mean, what's the point of that? You start Jason Hamill now because you hope you can trade him in July or August. But if and when that time comes and it passes and you can, just cut bait and give Brad Keller 5 starts. See what happens. It's worth finding out at that point. And I think he said last night that maybe he can do it.
You mentioned Jason Hamill, and it's not a surprise when he gets knocked around, okay? His previous start, he'd given up the 3 runs in the first and was getting bombed. I think it was 3 doubles in that first inning, his last outing. And then this one, he gives up 3 home runs, and he's gone, you know, can't get out of the fourth inning. 9 earned runs now tacked onto his ERA, and he's walking guys as well as giving up the home runs. I don't know if there's a way for him to get back. I mean, this is who he has become. And he gives up a ton of hits, and if he throws in the walks, he gives up a ton of runs. He'd been okay at the beginning of the season, but it's making it harder to think you could get a major piece back in a trade. This is just kind of where we are with Jason Hamill.
Well, yeah, and I mean, if he keeps pitching like this, he can't get anything back in a trade. You know, but even when he was pitching great to start the season, he had that 9-inning game, not the complete game, but the 9-inning game against the Tigers. You look at what he provides, and you think, okay, well, maybe some team, look, every team needs 12 starts to end their season. Even if they're not training for a guy who's going to be on their playoff roster, you need a guy who can start every fifth day, and Jason Hamill is that guy. And so maybe it's the Braves or the Phillies who are surprisingly in the race, or anybody else, really. They might need somebody. And so they give up a lottery ticket arm in low A ball. And that's fine if that's what you can get for Hamill. Unfortunately, he's pitching like this. They're just going to release him because nobody's going to trade anything for him. I mean, they might be able to get cash for him, but they're not going to pay his salary if he's pitching like this. So you hope he can turn around. The thing that concerns me about him this year, he's just not getting many swings and misses. And so that tells me the stuff has deteriorated to a point that is probably not salvageable. But, you know, he did have some success, so maybe he can go on a 4 or 5-star run again. Maybe he somehow gets, you know, pitted against some bad offense here and there and can have a good, like I said, 4 out of 5 starts or something like that where he's really good, and maybe some team will say, you know, I don't care that he's going to give up 8 runs in 5 innings occasionally. I just need a guy to start every fifth day and give something up for him. But at this point, it's probably a fool's errand to try to get any kind of value for Hamill.
We're talking with David Leske from Baseball Prospectus. Follow him on Twitter at DB Leske as we broadcast live from Menards in Lawrence, Kansas. Come by and see us and say hello. David, as Royals fans, we know we're not going to be scoreboard watching much this year, at least I don't think. But I look at the standings, and after last night's come from behind win, the Royals are 5 games behind Cleveland in terms of wins. They have 5 fewer wins. I mean, another month, the Royals could be knocking on the door for the top of the division.
Yeah. I mean,
that's crazy the way this season started.
It is. And this is kind of the Indians' MO, right? I mean, they were like 500 around the All-Star break last year. I remember at the trade deadline, the Royals were 62-55, and the Indians had just started to get going. And the Royals were, I think, a game out at first. And so the Indians, they take their time to get going, and eventually it's going to come back and bite. The good news for them this year is their 4 trailers in the Central are probably not going to come back and bite them. The Twins could. Yeah, I mean, they won, 85 games last year. They made the wild card game. They went out and they made a couple shrewd additions to their roster. Theoretically, they should improve, and so they might be able to give the Indians a run for their money if the Indians don't pick it up. But, I mean, I don't really see a world where the Tigers, Royals, or White Sox can stay within 10 games of the Indians come July. It's funny because, yeah, they're five and a half hours. They're 13-25.
I know. It's record, just something that kind of hit me as funny this morning.
It is really interesting. And look, if they go out and they somehow sweep this series, which I don't think they're going to, but just let's play the hypothetical game, and they're 15-25, and then Tampa Bay comes to town. Tampa Bay's not very good, and they win 2 out of 3 there, and they're 17-26. And then all of a sudden, you start to dream a little, and before you know it, you can concoct a scenario in your head where they're like 31-34 and 4 games out of first place. You think, well, maybe they could do it. They can't. Look at the pitching staff. When you have 2 starters in a row give up 9 runs, I mean, it's just you can't sustain that. But I will say, prior to the season, before Perez got hurt, and even before Bonifacio was suspended, you looked at the offense, especially with Mike Moustakas, after he was added in spring training, and you think, well, maybe they're not that bad. And maybe they could score some runs. And sure enough, Salvador Perez, he gets hurt and they struggle. And Bonifacio is obviously out because he's an idiot. And they struggle. And Perez comes back. They've scored 5 runs per game since he's been back. Currently, for the season, and this includes their horrible April offense, they're kind of a middle-of-the-pack offense. They're averaging like 4.2 runs per game. That's toward the bottom. But I think they're like 7th in average, like 11th in on base percentage, 15th or 16th in slugging percentage. And this isn't a bad offense at all. And so that also kind of makes you dream a little bit. You think, well, maybe, you know, Kennedy's been good other than his last start. The Duffy, he's been terrible. He's got to get better. You know, you start to do that in your mind and go through those mental gymnastics to see if you can find a way. But it's going to be an uphill battle, and it's for the best of the future of the franchise if they just go ahead and not think they can compete this year.
We're talking with David Leske from Baseball Perspectives, talking Royals baseball here. It's Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter, and we are broadcasting live from Menards in Lawrence, Kansas, maybe the biggest store I have ever been in my entire life. David, today's game for the Royals, another one of those unusual 3 o'clock starts, which we seem to have gotten a few times over the last week. Or at least a couple of times over the last week. So 3 o'clock start today. We'll have baseball tonight at 2 o'clock here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And this might be the top pitching matchup in the American League today. Jacob Junis for the Royals. Mark Clevinger for Cleveland, who looks like Jacob deGrom switched teams in the middle of a season. They have the same haircut, and they both pitch pretty well. But Jacob Junis was able to bounce back after a wobbly start to settle down, and now he was back to pitching where he normally does. And the number that stands out to me about these two pitchers going head-to-head, well, a couple of numbers, Junis 38 strikeouts, Clevinger has 39, and the whip, Junis is a .99, and Clevinger is a 1.07. I don't want to jinx it, but this has 2 hours and 10 minutes written all over it.
It sure does, which means it's going to be another 10-9.
it's
a really good matchup. Clevinger's interesting because he's kind of taken the Corey Kluber path. You know, when Kluber came up, he was 26 years old, I think. Put up a 5.5 ERA. And the next year, a little bit better, and then he became Corey Kluber. And Clevinger came up at 25, put up a 5.5-ish ERA. Last year, he came up. Remember, he made his first start of the year. It was supposed to be a spot start against the Royals, and he just dominated them. And everybody got so upset. Oh, Triple A starter is dominating the team. And I thought, well, I don't think Clevenger's a Triple A starter. He's got really good stuff. And he went on 3.1, 3.2 ERA somewhere in there last year. And then this year he's improved on that even. He's been really good. He's got good stuff. He's walking fewer batters this year. He strikes me out fewer as well. So there's a trade-off. But I think he's also giving up a lot of weak contact. So he's doing a lot right. He's the type of pitcher who I believe can give the Royals six. But I will say, if he's in the strike zone, he pitches with his fastball quite a bit. I think Jorge Soler could do some damage today. He struck out three times last night. He's probably angry. And he's accustomed now to getting two or three hits and walking a couple times every game. He didn't do it last night. So I could see this being a good matchup for Soler. But Clevenger is a good pitcher. He's a really good pitcher. Probably been the Indians' second-best starter this year, which when you're on a team with Corey Kluber, second-best is like an ace anywhere else. So that's good for him. It's going to be a tough matchup. But you know, the Indians have a tough battle as well. If Dumas has his slider working, most of their hitters struggle with sliders. And so if he's got that slider working, and it's a really good slider, this could be a really quick game. This could go fast. Although you never know with that 3 o'clock start, like you said, it's a little bit weird. And I know that sometimes on the TV broadcast, they talk about shadows incessantly. But this time with a slider like Junis has, those shadows could be really bad for Indian hitters. So maybe he can just dominate them while the shadows are there and make it and make it a long game for him.
And for Clevenger, when he came up last year, I don't think Royals fans were upset so much as about that they thought he had Triple A stuff. It's that every time another player got called up in his first start against the Royals, they seemed to dominate. So hey, David Lesky, we're gonna let you run here, and now that the sun has come out, enjoy the Mother's Day weekend, and hopefully we all do something nice for those the special moms out there. All right?
Absolutely, they deserve it.
All right, that's David Lesky from Baseball Prospectus, writes about the Royals. Follow him on Twitter, at DB Lesky. Royals and Cleveland this afternoon at 3 o'clock. We'll have baseball tonight for you at 2 o'clock. All right, we will take a quick timeout here as we broadcast live from Menards in Lawrence. One-stop shopping for Mother's Day. Got the patio furniture. Got flowers. If you're hanging out by a swimming pool this weekend, you need pool supplies, life jackets, whatever. If you're out on a boat, they've got some boat supplies as well. Anything you can think of to have fun. If you need a new barbecue grill, if you're going to grill for your mom, you can get that here too, or get the briquettes, or get whatever you need. They've got it here. At Menards. Also, taking donations today for the Lawrence Humane Society. So if you come by, you can buy some pet food, some treats, shampoo, cleaning supplies, and then donate them to the Lawrence Humane Society. I know they would appreciate that very much. All right, quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to be going about 300 miles an hour. Literally. We're going to talk with Tony Schumacher, who's second in the points in Top Fuel, and he's headed to Heartland Park, Topeka next weekend for the Menards NHRA Heartland Nationals. So Tony Schumacher will join us next. My name is Brad Porter. You're listening to Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 at WHB. My name is Brad Porter. We're broadcasting live from Menards in Lawrence, Kansas, the biggest store I have ever been in my entire life. Charlie Carlin is out here as well. Rudy Salazar and Jed Marshall are back at the Rally House Studios in Kansas City. Fitting that we're at Menards today with the Menards NHRA Heartland Nationals coming up next weekend at Heartland Park, Topeka. And racing in Top Fuel, currently sitting number two in the standings, is Tony Schumacher. And Tony joins us right now. Tony, how are you on this Mother's Day weekend?
I'm good. I'm just coming back from a little hunting trip.
Little hunting trip. What are you out for this time of year?
We got a hog. Just got to make us some ribs. It's all good. My son got a hog. I didn't even see. I don't know what it is. I'm in the same ranch so many times that I have yet to even see one moving.
Do you get how much time off? How much time off do you get during the season where you can go be with family and get out there and do your thing?
Not that much. I mean, right now we're, you know, for whatever reason, we just came off three races in a row. Now we got this weekend off. It's Mother's Day, and then we race, obviously, in Topeka next weekend, but then we're off the following weekend. After that, I'm gone 9 weekends, 10 weekends straight. I don't even know. It gets busy. take what we can get.
Don't even know where you are probably half the time. Hey, as you guys come into Heartland Park, Topeka, where does that track go? Obviously, we cover it here locally, and it's always a big deal for us. But where does it stack up against the other drag strips you race on across the country?
It's a very nice track. You know, I mean, it's good. It's fast. It's clean. It doesn't have some of the issues we have at different tracks. But I think it's good about that track is it's almost always, not always, but almost always a good two-lane racetrack where both cars will get down the racetrack and it becomes a driver crew chief thing rather than a racetrack issue in one lane. The fans are fantastic. I mean, I was joking, but it's Kansas. It's not known for 900 other things, man. They look forward to that racing. It's big there. I bought my wife a shirt one time. I went there, actually. I'm like, I'm gonna go get her a shirt. You know, I'm going to get her something like, you know, and it's a tornado shirt. And I just started laughing. I couldn't find, I don't know what else it was. It was like, there's no oil. It's a tornado. And I said, man, we got racing's big there because of that. It's fantastic. And the crowd piles in, and they love the sport. The radio shows, okay, I do this racing thing 24 races a year. I get more radio calls from Topeka and Kansas City than anywhere else. Because
well, that's good. Yeah, absolutely. The Menards NHRA Heartland Nationals coming up next weekend in Topeka. And you mentioned the tornadoes and things, and we have NASCAR in Kansas City, Kansas this weekend, and that track is nicknamed the track that will blow you away because I've been there a handful of times, and if the wind is coming from the right direction, it can be a big challenge for those guys.
If you ever driven a NASCAR before, it's a big challenge everywhere, but you add some crosswind, cross breeze, because those drivers, remember this, they know what they're doing out there. Like, my car goes straight and very, very fast. Those guys, when they want to move another car around, they position themselves in a place to steal air, push air, whatever they want to do. When you add that cross breeze, you get the element of, I'm not sure what's going to happen. It's a nutty race, man. And again, it's about the fans. Get a place where the fans really love it, and it becomes exciting.
Well, we're talking with Tony Schumacher, driver of the Army car dragster, and he's second in the points right now. Tony, I know you get asked this a lot, but, you know, I cover the NASCAR races, and those guys over here at Kansas Speedway are going at top speed, around 200 miles an hour. And I know you get asked about the speed of your cars all the time because the numbers just my brain trying to understand how fast that is to go in a car, I can't quite crunch the numbers, but you have a top time of 336.57 miles an hour. Can you explain to the average person or the layperson who's never been in a vehicle other than an airplane going that fast what it is like, what the force is on your body, what the G's are? Is it like getting hit in the chest with a cannonball when you hit the gas?
Probably. I've never been hit in the chest with a cannonball, so I'm not sure.
Well, I have never have either. I imagine it.
I love it because people say that. They go, dude, is it like it shot out of a cannon? I go, I think so, but I'm not sure. And if I said yes, would you be any closer to understanding? You know, it's like, a major league fastball, when a pitcher when he throws a ball, it takes 8/10 of a second to leave his hand and reach the plate. And it's going 100 miles per hour. That's the same rate my car accelerates. When I hit the gas, I go from 0 to 0.8, or to 100 miles per hour in 8/10 of 1 second. And we're just getting started. At half track, 660 feet away, we're going 290-plus miles per hour. And then in the last 1 second, you know, we gain another 40, 50 miles per hour. It's an insane run. Your 5 Gs, you know, your body's 5 times the body weight. And then when you hit the parachute, you go to -5 or -6 times. You know, and that's when everything goes right.
Yes, if one thing goes wrong, that's okay. You're correct. I am no closer to understanding what that's going to feel like, but I have a better idea now. I like the pitching analogy. That made it a little bit easier, but still, I'm never gonna know what that feels like. You can go over to Kansas Speedway and do fantasy driving. I don't think you want to be in a car going 300 miles an hour. That's not a safe thing for an average person to do. We're talking with Tony Schumacher. He's going to be at Heartland Park, Topeka next weekend for the Menards NHRA Heartland Nationals presented by Mentees. Do you get, being that the U.S. Army is on your car, do you get a lot of attention at your stops? Because I know at almost every event I go to, there's a military tie-in, whether it's the national anthem, there's a flyover, flag presentations, those sorts of things. Do you get a lot of attention and a lot of reaction from soldiers or military families where you make stops because your car is associated with the U.S. Army?
Absolutely. No question about it. For 20 years we've been doing this, and for 20 years we've built friendships. And, you know, it's been a recruiting tool, but we've done it for so long that the people we've encountered and met that come back time and time again to the races, you know, we bring out a hometown hero at every race, someone from the military that's home on leave or doing some recruiting back in the town from that town. And, you know, their family and friends are there, and there's so many soldiers there. But beyond the people we invite out, the veterans, the kids that are thinking about joining the military, the kind of future soldiers, and the enlisted people, the people that are active in the military that are just on leave, standing out at the ropes, they all wear the hats. You know, they want, it's not like they sneak up and they want to be quiet. They want you to know that they are military, and they want you to know that this is their home base. That race car is them. So it's fantastic, man. I've made some great, great friends over the years, and appreciate each one of them.
That's fantastic and great to hear. And there's probably not very many people that either don't have a military person in their family like I do, or have a neighbor or a relative who's in the military. We all have ties to the military at some point, and it's great that those soldiers can get out there and see that big logo on your car going by at 336 miles an hour, which still I just shake my head at just how fast that is. I know you get this question a lot too, because when Joe Montana was playing quarterback in Kansas City, he would get questions about his four Super Bowls he won with the San Francisco 49ers. Well, which Super Bowl was your favorite? Which one was the best? And every championship has a different story. But I'm going to ask you the same thing with your eight Top Fuel championships. Do you have one that stands out? Was it the first one because you finally did it, or does each one have its own unique story and way that you've celebrated?
Well, each one definitely has a unique story, but in 2006, the way we set the world record and won the last race, the last round of the year, and earned the 20 bonus points for a world record on that run, that literally went down as the greatest run in the history of the sport. It has to be that, just because, you know, and for listeners, let me break it down. That run was the greatest run in the history of the sport. But what made it great was a lot of poor racing early. You know what I mean? It was a come-from-behind victory. There's only one way to come from behind, and that's to get beat. We were back a long ways. And we started to catch the leader about 45 points per race halfway through the year. But when we got to the last race, the irony, we were 45 points out of the lead. So to win, he had to make some mistakes, not even mistakes. He had to get beat at some level. And we had to win and set a world record. All this had to come together. The earth had to rotate backwards. The moon had to rise. The tide had to go away. And we did it. And it was just, you know, before we did it, looking around at my guys, talking, those are the moments that people, those are the exciting part. It wasn't hitting the gas for the 4 seconds. It wasn't even the finding out you did it. It was everything that led up to it, and looking in the car, looking at your friends, your nine guys that work on a car before the run, and looking at them and saying, you know what, we got a big moment ahead of us, but I got these people that are capable of this, and then pulling that off was just a spectacular year. You know, it took the whole year to do it. Again, it took getting way behind and coming from a long deficit to put that moment into perspective and make it great.
That is absolutely fantastic. We're talking with Tony Schumacher. He's going to be in the Heartland Park Topeka next weekend, the Menards NHRA Heartland Nationals presented by Menties. Tony, I appreciate your time so much, and I'll tell you what I'm going to do. The next time somebody asks me what is it like to be live on the radio or on television, I'm going to tell them, my friend Tony Schumacher told me it's like getting shot out of a cannon.
Yeah, that's funny. See
if they can relate to it. Hey, Tony, have a safe trip to Topeka next week, and good luck to you. And we thank you so much for giving us a little bit of your time.
All right, we'll see you there. We always do.
All right, there's Tony Schumacher, drives the U.S. Army Dragster, and he'll be at Heartland Park Topeka next weekend for the Heartland Nationals presented by Menards and Menties. Good stuff here. If you're close to the Menards in Lawrence, Kansas, they have discounted tickets to the NHRA race and also pit passes, so you can pick those up as well. We will take a quick timeout, and then we will come back as we get ready to wind down the final half hour of the show. My name is Brad Porter, broadcasting live from Menards in Lawrence. Charlie Carlin is out here with me. Rudy Sanchez and Jed Marshall back at the Rally House Studios. Back after this quick timeout, you're listening to Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday with Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. My name is Brad Porter, broadcasting live from Menards in Lawrence. If you want to go to the NHRA race, the Menards race next weekend at Heartland Park Topeka, we have discounted tickets out here, pet passes as well. Also, Menards, your one-stop shop for Mother's Day. Walking through and walking around, all kinds of flowers you can get, and you can go put them in the ground for mom or your wife. You can do it yourself. Give her something nice to wake up to this Mother's Day weekend.
What are you doing for your wife, Brad?
I don't know what we're doing. We usually go to brunch. That's kind of the thing.
That's not going to work tomorrow.
Just hang out and have a nice day. What's that?
That won't work tomorrow.
Well, it'll be a late affair.
I see. But you've been out at Menards the whole day, and you haven't picked up any flowers or anything?
I have not yet.
Wow.
I have not.
Wow. That's
embarrassing. There's only like 2 or 3 minutes of commercial breaks. I don't have a lot of time to check it out. So.
You have Charlie there. You can send him to go look for something nice.
Charlie's texting and checking his Facebook. So
Charlie was texting me, so tell him I appreciate that.
I am working very hard, and yes, I'm texting Jed right now. So.
Oh, okay.
Real exciting.
What are you doing, Jed? You're taking the day off, right?
Yeah, I'm going with my mom and my two lovely sisters and a gaggle of children. And my sister's in-laws and the other sister's mother-in-law to Grand Street Cafe at 9:30 in the morning. I will not be hungry, so I don't know what I'm going to do.
Are you going to have like 4 tables with that many people? That's a lot of people.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of people. It's going to be a kind of a disaster, to be quite honest. I hope no one in the family is listening. But no, it'll be fun. I always love seeing my nephews and my niece, but, yeah, it's going to be wild. I don't really eat breakfast though, Brad. So at 9:30 in the morning, I don't know how I'm going to accomplish this.
Okay. Charlie, what are you doing?
I am going to brunch with, my mom and, dad and sister and my aunt and uncle at Shadow Glen.
Okay.
And we're going to, just hang out there and get some delicious brunch food and, maybe, some mimosas and stuff like that and all
maybe
that.
A
and
bit.
Then probably hang out around that area afterwards. Yeah, it's going to be a good day. I haven't looked at the weather. I hope it's supposed to be nice.
I think so.
It is supposed to be nice. I was watching the weather today.
Good. Well, then, yeah, I'm sure we'll do something outside after brunch.
Rudy, probably. You got something planned?
So I get this from my mom. Like, I don't like holidays all that much. And my mom's just like me. So we're going to, she just wants to, hang out for a little bit. This is where we're like, we're too lazy. We don't want to go celebrate something on our days off. So we're going to go see a movie. She wants to see the new Avengers movie. I told her I would take her.
You're taking your mom to Avengers?
She wants to see it, and I haven't seen it yet. And we don't she doesn't like the hassle of having to, go try to get, reservations and go eat somewhere. Me and her are kind of anti-holiday for the most part. Or at least holidays that celebrate ourselves. I hate my birthday. because it's weird celebrating myself.
I hate my birthday also. I don't think that's unique to a lot of people.
Yes, like my mom, like Mother's Day, like holidays that we celebrate ourselves, we're just not into. Like it's weird for us.
You're just such a selfless person, Rudy.
No, it's more a lazy thing. Like it's days off. We don't want to go somewhere. The driving around, it's a hassle.
That's my speed, the lazy speed.
I kind of like that though. Taking mom to see Avengers. I like that.
And then like, I'm sure like, well, I'll just spend most of the day at her place, just kind of hanging out.
Okay.
We're simple people.
Hey, that's okay. We got early breakfast for Jed. We got brunch for Charlie. We got the Avengers for Rudy. So a cornucopia of different things that we're doing for Mom's Day tomorrow. So that'll be fun. We won't have. I was thinking about this earlier. I was looking at stuff to talk about for the show. It's a strange weekend for Kansas City sports fans because, the Royals are out of town. There is the Speedway. NASCAR is in town. But no Sporting KC this weekend. They played at midweek, went down to Atlanta, got a huge win down there, 2-0, and it had controversy, and I found it hard to watch the game on that turf. I mean, the stadium is terrific, but the turf just looks awful on television. But there's no game this weekend. In baseball, you normally get – teams get Monday off is usually their off day, or they get a Thursday off if they're coming back from out of town and take a Thursday off and play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But no Sporting on the weekend is odd, and I find myself – I don't know how I feel about that. I don't like having the weekend off, but –
Rudy and I were discussing, though, if you're a soccer fanatic, like I'm sitting here watching Atletico Madrid, but tomorrow is Championship Saturday in the EPL, so you have you have a ton of games on. I think, Rudy, don't they start at 6A tomorrow?
Yeah, I love that Man City's playing on the Sci-Fi Network. That's my favorite one. And Everton's on the Entertainment Channel, which is ironic because they're not entertaining in the least bit, but they're all on major networks, like major network channels tomorrow. No NBC... Sports Gold.
I bet Liverpool is going to be in a prime channel somewhere. So they have, Liverpool is in an odd situation. That's my team, and I don't mean to digress into our favorite teams. Everybody's got their own favorite team. But Liverpool's in an odd situation where they need points to finish in the top four to guarantee Champions League for next year, but if they actually beat Roma in Champions League here in a couple of weeks, then they'll still make it anyway, and five teams will get in. So they kind of need the win, but they have a safety net if they don't, sort of.
Okay, so actually, I've got it here. So every game actually starts at 9. Every game starts at the same time, and Liverpool is on the main NBC. They're the main game of the day.
As it should be.
One of the games, Crystal Palace West Brom, is on Oxygen, and then Burnley Bournemouth is on the Olympic Channel.
That'll
so be if you get the Olympic Channel, like you can watch Burnley.
That'll be interesting to see how many eyeballs are found for that game on Oxygen, because I believe that's primarily women's programming. So for the guys watching soccer out there, I guess ask your wives or your lady friends if they know where the Oxygen Channel is so you can catch that match.
Yeah, I have trouble sometimes decoding, like, it used to happen during the Final Four when
games
CBS
are on
would
True
put all
TV.
The games. Yeah, you have to figure out where the heck is True TV. And so, yeah, tomorrow would be, you'd be doing some gymnastics to try to figure out where some of those channels are.
Well, you find out just how bad, I guess, Impractical Jokers is when you get the tournament going, because you see promos for it the entire March Madness. And it makes me realize why I remember where True TV is about 2 days out of the year.
I think that's the only show True TV has is Impractical Jokers. It's never not on unless a college basketball game's on.
No, it's on all day.
that's kind of how TNT is too.
Law and Order,
because Law and Order's all, like when I came in the morning all this week, the channel that'd be on TNT because the NBA game from the night before. And some awful Law and Order show or something would be on just like that. I'm just like, this sucks. So it's pretty similar to that.
But I have, depending on your cable system, and I won't tell you which one I have, but like if I got a channel guide and I can't figure out where a game is, but I know that there is, like if I go to a channel that has an English Premier League game on, I'll hit guide and then you'll hit like similar programmings or the same name or search. You do a search. and my cable system is so slow. If I do a search, I can leave the room and come back in 5 minutes, and then maybe it's got it, and then I can find what I'm looking for.
Sounds like time to upgrade your cable provider, Brad.
Might be. Might be.
Nothing better than sports talk radio talking about cable providers in European League soccer. I'm sure that people are enthralled with this conversation.
Okay, we'll bring it back. How about this? by the way, you're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're broadcasting live from Menards. Charlie Carlin and I are out here. Jed Marshall and Rudy Salazar back in the studio. So I was thinking about this earlier. It's a great pitching matchup for the Royals today. Maybe the best matchup in the American League. Jacob Junis against Mike Clevinger, both having terrific seasons. Who's your Royals All-Star right now? Yes, it is May 12th, but we're going to have to start the voting and the selections and all that. Who's your Royals All-Star? Is it Jacob Junis?
I would probably go with Mike Moustakas, actually. I know that Salvador Perez will be what the probably consensus pick is around the table. I just think Moose is doing so much, and he's actually putting on a presentable face when dealing with the media and everything like that. So I think he's actually made himself into an all-star player.
Jorge Soler for me. He's hot right now, and he's doing pretty well in the outfield for the most part, and he's just big impact hitter for the Royals right now. And I mean, Salvi's a close second for me too, because he's starting to find his own and hit very clutch home runs, as you saw last night. So I'd have to say Soler or Salvi for me.
Yeah, and Kelvin Herrera is going to get consideration.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Jorge Soler is my guy, but like Kelvin Herrera's back. Like I know he struggled obviously at times last year, but Kelvin Herrera's back to being Kelvin Herrera. He's filthy.
The patience that Jorge Soler has apparently developed this year is one of the things that's been most surprising and makes me optimistic that he can continue the kind of start that he's been on. But Charlie, to your point, if he continues to play like he is, I had kind of forgotten about Jorge Soler. The glove does leave a little bit to be desired, but I mean, if you're going to hit 25, 30 bombs and walk 100 times, I'll take it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I heard a discussion last week, or maybe we had the discussion last week or a couple weeks ago, that you talked about Jorge Soler's patience at the plate and how he's seeing more pitches and he's drawing more walks. And maybe it was Lesky, it might have been somebody else, said, well, there's probably some balls he should be jumping on and pounding instead of letting them go by. But my thing is, I'm not messing with anything that he's doing right now. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Well, and the best part about this is, like, everyone was all, like, regretting the Wade Davis trade last year because he sold Soler did not make an impact at all, but he's made such a splash this year, and the Royals still have him for 2 years after this. And so if he's doing what he's doing right now, imagine if he keeps it up, imagine what he's going to be next year, the year after that. Like, he's the sky's the limit as of right now. But we did, like I said, see the floor that he has last year, but we're also now seeing the ceiling. It's hard to say. that he has now too. So it's a wide range, but it's good to see.
Well, the Wade Davis trade is polarizing for a lot of different reasons, but closers are not nearly as dominant as Wade Davis was for very long. You know, Craig Kimbrell and Mariano Rivera don't come along very often. So to be able to try and trade that for upside, banking on the fact that Wade Davis will be injured, he hasn't yet. He's I think still leading the league in saves. But Ned Yost did say that Jorge Soler is one of the guys who that the Royals are going to build around when they become more competitive in the future moving forward. The fact, Charlie, as you mentioned again, being, you know, under team control and then having, I think, 3 more years of arbitration after that, that's basically 5 years of control that the Royals have at a pretty cost-effective rate. And for a team that needs to start reworking their finances and becoming less expensive and younger, that's a perfect trade in my mind.
Yeah, and it's bearing fruit in terms of production now. It took a while, and look, when you change organizations and you join a team that just won a championship and you have no idea what that feels like. Well, actually, it kind of does.
He was on the Cubs, the year before.
Yes, it kind of one of those things that slips your mind. Why did you say that without thinking about it first? You mentioned Craig Kimbrell. Say that 3 times. That's another tough one. kind of snuck up on me last week, and maybe some fans. He's got 300 saves. He just got to 300, and I was like, did I miss the buildup for this? It was, it's an amazing number of saves for him to have piled up, and he's played on some teams over the years that were not very good.
Agreed. The fact that he's done it in less than 8 years shows just how dominant he's been. I think he had a 60 save in there, 250s. The past couple of years, he's been trending down, but he's unstoppable. If he, I don't know, I think he's 29. If he can keep going, or maybe a little bit older, but if he can keep going, who knows? Mariano Rivera was a once-in-a-lifetime player, but he has a chance to maybe get to 500.
Absolutely. We're talking... We got the full panel going here with Charlie Carlin, Jed Marshall, Rudy Salazar, and I'm Brad Porter. So on the subject of Royals All-Stars, what's the max number the Royals get? Because they're not going to be a contender. But, I mean, I think it's going to be more than one guy.
I also think it's going to be more than one guy. I think they'll get two. There is a case to be made for three. We'll see how Junis continues to trend. But right now you have to appreciate the early returns.
Yeah, I think two is a lock. Because I think Kelvin Herrera is a lock. And then I think more than likely one of Soler, Moose, as long as they keep hitting like this, is probably a lock as well.
Yeah, so
at least getting
Moose,
one
Perez,
of those
one
two.
Of those guys,
and then
pitcher.
Yeah, and then you have Perez too. So like two should be a lock, maybe three. I think three is possible, but two should be a lock.
And a lot of it's dependent upon how they're playing, and if Cleveland continues to trend down, and the Royals, like we talked about earlier, are theoretically still in the mix for the AL Central race, I think that'll dictate a lot of it too at the All-Star break.
I agree. I think it's too locked in, and my two lock-ins would be Kelvin Herrera and Salvador Perez, and then either a Soler or a Moose or a Junis. But I think two's a lock for now, and then a wait and see. Charlie?
I'd have to agree. With that? Yeah. Okay. Two's a lock, pretty much.
All right, we've got just a couple of minutes left in the show as we get your Mother's Day weekend rolling. We'll have baseball tonight coming up at 2 o'clock, and then Royals and Cleveland at 3. And we've had a couple of those in the last week or two, those 3 o'clock starts, which are always a little strange. But and then we'll get ready for Mother's Day on Sunday, which should be an absolutely gorgeous day once again. We had rain this morning. It's gotten out of here. But that's it. So I want to thank all of our wonderful guests today. I'm Tony Schumacher, driver of the U.S. Army, coming in to Heartland Park, Topeka next weekend for the Menards NHRA Heartland Nationals presented by Minties. Right now, Tony Schumacher is number 2 in the top fuel standings and trying to build towards a 9th championship. So Tony Schumacher was great to talk to, and I thought he was funny. I asked him what it's like to drive 336 miles an hour, and he said, people always ask me if it's like getting shot out of a cannon. He says, I don't know. Never been shot out of a cannon. So, Tony Schumacher, thank you. Thanks to Connor Tian, former KU basketball player, Rockers High School grad. Thanks to Matt Verderam from FanSided, Eric Horn from the Daily Oklahoman, and David Leske from Baseball Perspectives. Thanks to Rudy Salazar and Jed Marshall back at the Rally House Studios. Thanks to Charlie Carlin, who has been out here with me at Menards all day long in Lawrence. Get out to Menards, one-stop shopping for Mother's Day. Plus, get those pet products and make a donation to the Lawrence Humane Society. My name is Brad Porter. Hope you enjoyed the show, and hope you enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock for Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.